I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark Zeno in for Mike. We are live at Flowery Branch inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, it is good to have you listening. We are going to get a chance to talk to Coach Raheem Morris within an hour or so. They are on the practice field as we speak. Would you call this a must-win game for the Falcons, Mark Zeno?
They're all must-win when you're 3-5.
Correctamundo. And the problem is you've had some opportunities over the last 2 weeks to take advantage of a couple of teams that you probably should have. Instead, we find ourselves in a predicament where we're trying to starve off or hold off a four-game losing streak. Guys, when you lose four in a row in the National Football League, people view you as a team that can't find its way out of a paperback. You can't find your way out of your issues or your problems. That is why everybody gave up on the Cardinals, and they had no shot on Monday night against the Cowboys. Now, they snapped a five-game losing streak, but this is what we're up against. And the Falcons, by the way, are going up against a team that's averaging 383 yards per game. That's second in the NFL. 257 yards passing per game. That's tied for second in the NFL.
Is that good?
And they're averaging about 125 yards per game rushing the balls, which is eighth in the NFL.
With the guy who's leading the NFL in rushing yards.
This team offensively
is
it is. Okay. This team offensively is better than the Patriots were. They're better than the Patriots were.
Hey, guess what? You held the Patriots in check. 3 points in the second half.
And okay, so can you do that for a full game on Sunday?
Yeah, you can.
You sound really
confident.
Daniel
Jones, for crying out loud.
Oh, don't go there.
I watched Daniel Jones for
4 years
in a Giants uniform.
Yeah, this is not that Daniel Jones.
And you know it's the same dude.
No, it's not.
It's the same dude.
No, it's not.
The same dude showed up last week at Pittsburgh throwing three picks.
You think he throws three against us? Because if he does, I'm going to tell you right now, Falcon fans, we win the game. If he throws three against us, we win the game.
He had two last week and they didn't win the game. So.
But I'd love to tell you the same thing. I got to respect what the kid is doing. What this guy is doing, he's not a kid anymore. What this guy is doing in Daniel Jones, and I got to respect the run game. Look, Jonathan might be the best running back in the league.
He is.
Well, look, touchdown-wise, the problem is we got a guy in the building that they don't go to quite a bit.
Well, I mean, we understand the frustration there. I said this after 3 or 4 weeks. I put it out there on X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it. It's not aggressive to say Bijan Robinson is the best running back in the league. Bijan is probably the best, most talented running back in the NFL.
He is.
I don't think that's a stretch to say, and I'm not a homer for this stuff. You know that. I just genuinely think that's what the guy is.
Why are you rolling up your sleeves as you said that? Look, if you got to pump in before you got here, bro, I am not interested. If you want to show those guns off to Raheem when he walks in here, great. You don't have to do that while you're talking to me and looking at
me.
I
adjusted my shirt.
Okay, no, you did not. We know you wear these smalls to make your muscles look way bigger than they are.
And then all
of a sudden you pulled your shirt up as you said that. I'm not in here.
I didn't pull it
to
all
kiss
the way up.
Butt. Come on, Zeno.
Oh, my God. Hostile workplace.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
I don't even know anymore. I just know. Bijan not getting the ball enough will always feel like it's a problem when it doesn't happen. When you don't win games, we're always going to say Bijan needs the ball more. Bijan needs the ball more. For as great as Drake was in that game, and a big part of the reason why he got back in it, the absence of Bijan earlier in the game and throughout the game feels, this is why people scream at the coaching, right? Because every other coach does this. I mean, we did the same thing when Julio was here. Just get the ball to 11. There was never a problem getting the ball to 11, ever, except in the Super Bowl, 4 targets.
And sometimes in the red zone. But that's neither here nor there.
But anyway, so it's frustrating to fans and frustrating to people to see the best running back in football not be the central point and the focal point of your offense.
But the Colts are doing that. And that's why this Jonathan Taylor thing about where he's at in the pecking order, how good he is, how many touchdowns he scored.
They just give him the rock nonstop.
They give him the ball. And for Daniel Jones, it's made his life a lot easier. Now, last week, the turnovers didn't help, but they were also playing from behind. They have been a team in their 7 wins that have had leads and have really dominated teams. I mean, again, you're talking about scoring 35, 32, 40 points. it's a team offensively that's been really good. Now, defensively, guys, we're talking about the Colts as we are live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. Mark is in for Mike today, and Coach will join us here at about 3 o'clock. But defensively, they're middle of the pack. Guys, there's no reason we shouldn't score points on these guys. They're allowing almost 330 yards a game. They're giving up 250, basically, per game passing the ball. Michael Penix could have another big day throwing the football. But, you know, the thing is –
You can't be in third and nine and third and ten all day long. You can't go 0 for your first nine on third down.
There it is.
That you can't do.
There it is. First down is so important, and I don't think we stress this enough. When you don't make significant yards on first down and you put yourself in a situation where it's second and long, they know it's second and long, you limit your play calls, now it's third and long, and you're doing that, you're just hurting yourself. The most important down, guys, first down, I got to get five. I got to get five.
Well, that's tough. Give me 3 to 4.
Give me five.
That's aggressive. I mean,
you know, I am aggressive.
I understand that. You know, across the NFL, like, even the best teams are only averaging 4.5 yards a rush, right? Like, so if you get to second and seven, and then theoretically you run again and you get 4 yards, and then you get to third and three, now the whole playbook is open. Now everything is there. The problem is, and this is predictable. This is across the league predictable. I don't know if you guys ever watched this, but there is a pattern that's been statistically backed up. When teams throw an incomplete pass on first down, they run 88% of the time on second down. Why? Because I can't be incomplete again and be in third and 10. So I've got to get something on second down that nets me to get me to third and 7 or third and 6.
So you just said it. It's a trend. And guess what happens with these defenses?
They pick up on it,
they
of course.
They shut it down,
they
and all of a sudden you're still with 39.
And then all of a sudden, and now defenses will say, here's what they'll do, right? They'll say, force that rookie quarterback to beat me. Force him to beat me. And that's what a lot of that happened. And credit to the Patriots defense because, again, they took the run away. I mean, they're the best run defense in the league, right? Or second best, one of the two of them.
They were in the against the run, yes.
So, I mean, they did their job. The Falcons have to find a way, as you said, Carl, to get yardage and early downs and avoid those long spots because they have all the weapons in the short passing game that they need to have. The other guy that probably needs to get involved is probably Darnell.
Who?
At some point.
Who?
Darnell Hooney?
Yeah, I love Darnell. So much so, my phrase is caught on, you know, what's up, Darnell? But, dude, he's not helped us this year. And I know he's been injured.
Hurt, yeah.
I know he's been injured. But for all the expectations of what Darnell would do for this offense, he's just not been able to do it. And last week, I think he caught a ball.
Yeah.
I think he caught one ball last week.
I think we have 3 or 4 targets. That was it. I mean, he's not maybe he's still – I don't know if he's still injured or whatever. But there has to be a concerted effort to try and get the ball downfield a little more. The Falcons – and Michael Penix, believe it or not, is middle of the road in the league in average depth of target. He's not in the bottom of the league.
Right.
But because they excel in the intermediate routes. But they don't really ever take enough shots over the top to create space underneath. Look, there's too many weapons on this offense for them not to be more effective than where they are. And it's really feast or famine because the games where they're effective, they're super effective. The games where they're ineffective, they're very ineffective. The games when they coach well, they coach really well. When they get out-coached, they get it wildly out-coached. So, you know, you have these peaks and valleys that are tough for everybody to deal with. But like we said yesterday, Cole, it's not a roster problem. It's not a problem where we don't have the right pieces in the right places to win games. Does that go back to coaching? Somewhat, yes. There are certain games you lost because of coaching, certain games you didn't lose. They've got to put their best hat on this week and really come up with a game plan against a very – very good Colts team.
All right, let's talk about injuries while we're here. We'll get more on this from Coach as he comes in to visit with us. The Andrew Stuber signing to the active roster, and Mark and I said yesterday, you sign a guy to the active roster, that means he's playing, okay? But what's the latest on Bergeron? Week to week, Lindstrom's day to day, but Moore said it doesn't look good for Bergeron this week. So what's that look like for our offensive line? Hinton starting? And also Stuber, is that what we're talking about potentially for this offensive line going up against this Colts defense? That's what it sounds like to me. And as far as, you know, the Romo release, we talked about Zane yesterday. Zeno doesn't like to talk about kickers. I don't think he likes him, whatever he said. Romo Bottom line, Ross said today before practice, we just can't miss those kicks. We've got to find a way to be more consistent. And so we'll see what Zane can do with the job this week. And look, you just can't be afraid to call on your kicker, even if it's early in the game, especially late. You got to be able to trust him. And I don't know what his leg looks like. I mean, I know, you know, I think Dede mentioned this to us yesterday. When the Commanders played us last year and beat us, he was the guy that beat us. He was their kicker last year. So we've seen
– so it hurts.
We've seen this kicker. We've just seen him on the opposite side of the field. But in talking about the kicking situation, so Zane's got the job. But the injury update is kind of interesting. Real quick, what was the other injury I wanted to mention here?
You mentioned both the guards.
Storm Norton. Hmm. So Ross said today that he did not want to elaborate, which means I think this is more serious than they're leading on. Storm Norton had been practicing. He had been active. And then apparently he had some kind of setback in his recovery. And Ra was not prepared to answer why or what was going on there. Will he be when he comes in here? We'll press him and ask him what the deal is. But that's why they felt the need to acquire Andrew Stuber yesterday, which is what they did. And so it doesn't look like Storm Norton's coming back anytime soon. Billy Bowman expected to be back. Zach Harrison as well. So as far as the injury front, what I'm telling you is the O-line right now, from what we know, is probably going to look a little different on Sunday morning.
And that's a concern with a young quarterback. I mean, they have got to find a way to protect him. Now, is that – can you scheme your way around that and getting rid of the ball quick? Yeah. Can we you know, try to take advantage of maybe an over-aggressive pass rush by some screens and draws to Bijan? Like, Zach's obviously smarter at this than I am.
Is he?
Well, you said it. I didn't. But I would tell you that
– Look, I've played Madden enough to know, okay,
yeah. That – You and my twin boys.
Well, I'm just telling you that it's amazing how plays work on Madden and we can't execute them. But go ahead.
Son, it's 4th and 33. That's okay, Dad. I got this one. Anyway. But there are ways to scheme around that. But I tell you, if he doesn't have time to throw the ball, it's going to get early late. Or it's going to get late early, sorry, to quote Yogi Berra.
Yeah, it is. I mean, execution's key. We've got a lot to chop up here at Flowery Branch inside the Ticketmaster Studios. This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. Coming up, we've got to talk about what the playoff committee told us last night. And they told us a lot. Did you hear it? I don't mean physically. Did you hear what the messaging was with the rankings last night in college football? Mm. We're going to break it down for you coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. We're live at Flowery Branch, guys, as we do on Wednesdays. Mark Zeno's hanging out in for Mike today. We will rehash with Alex Anthopoulos, our general manager for the Braves, had to say to us yesterday, great stuff as he broke the news about the Braves going to pick up Ozzie's contract.
Option, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to exercise the option. And he said to us, you know, I'll give this one to you guys. And he did, and it was big news.
He also gave out today that Chris Sale's now option's getting picked up.
Well, look, I think it's smart. I know there are people who are like, well, here we go again. You're going to, you know, go with an aging guy. We'll get more into it, Zeno. But I think that's a smart play. Look, he's an innings eater. You need that. Do not get caught up in this whole, you know, he won a Cy Young and he'll never win another one. Stop thinking that way. Either way, we'll talk about what Alex had to say to us yesterday on the show. Great stuff from him coming up here on the show. Let's talk about the College Football Playoff Committee because last night they spoke loud and clear. Here's what I believe. And, Zeno, you tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. I think they said they believe in Indiana, A&M, and Ohio State. Those three are the most likely to make the top four. Remember, the top four get byes. And that's what I think they said last night in this first ranking. But I also think they said a couple of different things. They also said, you know, Alabama losing to Florida State early in the season, that's why you're not in the top four, regardless of what you've done the last 7 weeks and how good you've looked. That loss, not so much. That's why they can't be in the top three. As far as the Dogs are concerned, you lost to Alabama. Your win over Ole Miss was nice, but you need to beat Texas and Georgia Tech before we even consider you a potential top four team. That is what the committee is saying. And by the way, That Texas game, and I don't want to overlook Miss State because that's this weekend, and, you know, this is when you get caught up in looking past people. But the Texas game is a playoff game for both Georgia and Texas. Texas loses, they're not getting in. I mean, period. Georgia loses.
I disagree with that.
Georgia loses. Then you're starting to look at this a little bit differently after now you're talking about the loss to Alabama. Okay, can they still potentially get to the SEC championship game? There's a lot of gray there for Georgia. Just went out. Don't worry about it. The group of five, guys, it's either going to be Memphis or North Texas, in my opinion.
Is this the last year we should do this?
The group of five?
Yes, this is the last year we should. This is ridiculous.
Well, they're trying to be fair, you know?
Screw fairness. Just give me the 12 best teams.
Well, that's what they're doing.
No, they're not. The group of five team is nowhere near one of the top 12 teams in the country. End of conversation, full stop.
We say that every year.
And every year it's true.
These teams deserve an opportunity to get in.
No, they
well,
don't.
Then why should we have the playoff? Let's just do two teams and be done with it. Everybody.
BCS was perfect.
No, it wasn't.
BCS
Everybody
was. They never got it wrong. Not
wants
once.
An opportunity to say, hey, we deserve to be in and let us see what happens. Maybe San Diego State, by the way, another group of five. Bottom line is this. This is where I'm at, and I want to get your thoughts. 404-726-0929. ACC's in trouble. Number 14, Virginia. You got to win the conference. And that's the way you're going to become the fourth highest-ranked conference champion. That's the way you get into the top four. Georgia Tech ranked 17 in the College Football Playoff Committee last night. You got to win the ACC. That's the what this looks like. And then you talk about, you know, the SEC teams. Look, Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, A&M, I think they're all going to get in when it's all said and done. But Ole Miss is a team that has to run the table. And then last but not least, the Big Ten, Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon. We just talked about it. They've got to win out. Oregon, all of a sudden, you got Iowa, Washington, and then the USC game. That becomes a huge game. So Big 12, you're getting one. Big 12
getting Unless Texas Tech loses. Texas Tech is in. Texas Tech is in.
Unless they lose to BYU. And then they've
makes
got,
it a lot more difficult
and
for
then
them.
They got to win the Big 12, but then they need help to get to the Big 12 championship.
Well, if they lose to BYU this week, which I do not think is happening, remember, they're a 10-point favorite in that game. So if you
Tech is a 10-point favorite?
Texas Tech is a 10-point favorite over
at
BYU.
Home. Yeah.
At home. There are paths. To say unequivocally at this point anybody is in or out is tough because there are a lot of paths, right? I told you yesterday. Georgia Tech still has a path where if they win out and don't play in the ACC championship game at 11-1 with a win over Georgia, they have a path to get in if other things break their way. You know, you would need three or four other teams to trip and stumble, a USC, a Michigan, a Texas, maybe even a Texas Tech stumbles out and doesn't loses a game and they don't play in the Big 12 championship game. But if Texas Tech runs the table and loses in the Big 12 championship game, which they'll likely meet BYU again, Texas Tech is still getting in. They grade out as one of the top teams in the country.
Wait, wait, wait. If they lose to BYU this weekend as a 10-point favorite at home, and then you're telling
me – No, that's not what I said. I said if they lose in the Big 12 championship game to BYU.
Oh, okay. Because
so they finished the regular season 11-1.
All right.
Losing the Big 12 championship game.
You think a two-loss Big 12 – champion.
Yes. No, a two-loss Big 12 Texas Tech gets in, and then whoever's in the Big 12 championship game, whether it's BYU or Cincinnati, would get it. That's the kind of thing Georgia Tech can't have happen. Georgia Tech needs a one-bid Texas Tech from the Big 12, right? And they need Michigan and USC, Texas all to take losses to get themselves out of the picture.
Yeah.
There's a path there. Notre Dame somehow trips up and loses a spot, goes to three losses. That helps Georgia Tech immensely. So there are other paths for these teams. Ole Miss doesn't have to win out to get in.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they do not.
Got to run the table. Ole Miss loses hypothetically, and I know you're going to go, you're not going to lose to Citadel. They're done.
Well, okay.
You lose to Florida.
Yes, if they I will agree with you. If they lose to Citadel, they're not getting
in. So okay. Then you got to win out. You lose to Florida. You're done. I don't care if you beat the Citadel and your rival in Miss State. Lose to Florida 2 weeks. You're done. They have to win out. Because here's the issue. When you
five
start,
teams from the SEC are getting in.
Four.
Five.
Four.
Five.
Four.
Okay. All right. I mean, we'll see. There's paths to all these things happening, Dukes. That's kind of the point. I mean,
no, there is, but this is why it's going to be so interesting over the next 5 weeks.
And it's all over the next 3 weeks. It's going to get worked out.
Well, this is true because you're going to have the rivalry games by Thanksgiving. We'll know the
speculation stuff here and there.
But the championship games will come into play as well.
Even though the committee says they're not going to, they are 100%. You get rolled in your championship game, they ain't looking away.
They're not looking away from it.
So. I'll tell you this, too, about Texas. If they split with Georgia and A&M, win one of those games, there is a path for a three-loss team to get in.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Who would you rather have? Would you rather have a three-loss Texas or Memphis in the college
football
playoff?
You're asking the wrong guy. Okay. Of course I'd rather have the Horns in.
Okay.
But the part is their strength of schedule is not going to allow them to do that and split.
At Texas? It's the strength of schedule there in the SEC?
And three losses. No, that becomes the deal because there will be two of their losses
will be the top five teams in Ohio State and Georgia or A&M.
Yeah, won't matter.
Those are what you call acceptable losses in the committee's
eyes. Won't matter. Look, I'd love to tell you that.
And they just told you acceptable losses are a thing because Notre Dame is ranked in the top 10 after losing to A&M and Miami.
They really like Notre Dame. But we knew this. This is why Notre Dame can continue to be an independent. We're talking about the college football playoff committee. Let me say this. I'd love to tell you that Texas is too big to fail, meaning they could lose three and the committee goes, it's Texas. It's too much.
It's not that they're too big to fail.
Yes, they are, because here's the deal. This is still about eyeballs.
Yes.
This is still about
television event.
Who's going to watch? So when the committee gets together and says, you know what, I'd rather have a three-loss Texas team than a one- or two-loss team that may look better, but we're going to put a three-loss Texas team in, what they're telling you is eyeballs matter, and we know people are going to watch.
I think what needs to happen more than anything, if you are a team like Texas, if you are a team like – I mean, I feel pretty confident Notre Dame's going to work their way in there. But if you are a two-loss team –
with two losses already, yeah.
If you're a two-loss team or possibly even a three-loss team from the SEC – you need a one-bid ACC and a one-bid Big 12.
Well, that's what it's going to be.
I told you, if Texas Tech get tripped up in the championship
game,
still getting in.
Virginia or Georgia Tech has got to win out.
Don't forget Louisville. They're also 7-1. They only have one. And SMU only has one ACC loss.
Okay, so pick one of those teams. They're one of those teams is getting in. BYU or Tech from the Big 12. That's it. Everything else is SEC, Big Ten,
let me give you another scenario for Georgia Tech, okay? Texas takes a third loss. Like you said, Ole Miss takes a second loss.
All right.
Right? BYU takes two losses, one against
Texas
Tech.
You don't like BYU, do you?
I think they're wildly overvalued. Wildly overvalued. They're not the seven. There's a dozen teams better than BYU, easily.
you know what solves that? A playoff. Go ahead.
Okay, but the point is that BYU can lose to Texas Tech and then lose to Cincinnati, and they're out of the picture. So now this is starting to open up spots where a one-loss Georgia Tech team who doesn't play in their conference championship game with a win over Georgia gets in the playoff because they've been ranked in the top 10.
You just skated over that really easy.
What do you mean I skated over it?
With a win over Georgia, like that's an automatic. You just said that with such ease. Did you even hear him say it? It was very Raheem-like. You just said that and just, yeah, once they win over Georgia, then they'll have a one loss and they won't play in their conference championship game.
Come on, Zeno. That's 100% factual. I'm not telling you anything that isn't rooted in fact. This isn't opinion. This is fact. Georgia Tech needs other teams to lose to open up a spot.
I do agree.
For them to get in. That would take a bit away from an SEC team.
But you know what else they can do? They can just win the conference.
They could.
That's what we're talking
I don't know
about.
How the tiebreakers break, whether they're in a position to play in the ACC championship game or not. But I will tell you this much. Look out for USC and look out for Michigan. If both of those teams –
Michigan?
Yes, both of those teams run the table. They have a very legitimate argument. That means Michigan has a win over Ohio State and USC has a win over Oregon. Those are two lost teams that both have legitimate cases to put themselves in the college football playoff. And at the end of the day, Dukes, it's what you said. Do we want a Michigan, a Texas, a USC, or do we want a Georgia Tech? Like, the eyeball, that's going to hurt
matters.
The Yellow Jackets. It is.
It matters. But it also matters when you've never put a three-loss team in. That is the – you've
this,
got a,
this may be the first year.
You've got a precedent that you've set. And if you're going to go against that, now this thing is all screwed up.
There was an unspoken precedent. They've just never been really presented with the issue. Last year was close with Alabama. It really was. Like
Alabama didn't deserve to be in last year. Stop fooling yourself.
Over SMU? Stop it.
SMU won the – they were in the conference championship.
Yeah, but they didn't win it.
Neither did Alabama. Hey, man, want to remind you, the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by our friends at Finley Roofing is coming up Monday, November 24th. How's your golf game, by the way?
It's been solid. I drove the driving the ball really well as of late.
All those muscles, I'd hope so. Even if you can't play, you can still help benefit a great cause. 92.9thegame.com. Click on the events page and donate, that is. I'll probably eat donuts.
Donate donuts.
Pets for Vets, guys. It's a great charity. You know it, and we're happy to be a part of it.
Can you get me a dog?
I can get you a dog. You need a service dog?
I need service, but I don't know if a dog's going to help.
Okay, because I got guys that can do that for you. It's Monday, November 24th. It's the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, brought to you in part by Window Nation and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming back. What did Alex Anthopoulos say to us yesterday in regards to our Braves, their needs, and more? Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Zeno, I thought you were playing games with me when you said this.
I want to identify as a mascot.
I gotta bring this up to our audience. I mean, I don't like to put people's business in the streets.
It's on the internet.
But I guess if it's on the internet, it must be true. And you just said to me before we get to Alex Anthopoulos, because look, sometimes these conversations are off air, and y'all not going to catch me saying anything bad about anybody, trust me. But sometimes these conversations, it depends on the day, though. You just said to me that a mascot is making in our city how much?
$600,000 a
year. When's the next tryout?
I mean, I told you.
I'm there.
I'm doing life wrong. I want to redo.
I'm there.
I want to go to mascot training school as a kid. And I knew how to tumble back in my cheerleading days. I mean, I did, you know, I would just like to do that. I would like to be a mascot making six bands a year.
Wow. I had no idea. Harry, what up, man? I'm coming for you.
Not mad at him. Good for him, but I want to do it over.
Hey, y'all laugh. Y'all going to laugh your butts off. You're going to be like, Dukes, what you doing out here? I'm trying out. I'm going to be stretching.
I'll limber up. Listen, I'll jump on some trampolines through a fire hoop. I don't care.
What's the requirements? Will you rappel down from the roof?
Just give me. Yes. I can do that. I've done that before. Like I said, I want to redo. I want to go to mascot training school. Is there a mascot training school?
Can we start one? I don't even know. That's
you think
awesome.
We can do that?
That's awesome, though. Seriously, can you imagine? Sir, what is your line of work? I'm a mascot.
I'm a mascot.
Yes, we'll need to know your bottom line as far as your income.
Yeah.
You sure you want to know?
Sure, yeah.
That's impressive.
I'd like to buy this new Lamborghini Diablo. Sir, it says here you are a mascot. Yes, don't worry about it.
You realize,
fine.
Though, Zeno, that's on the higher end of the spectrum. Most mascots don't come anywhere close to that.
Really?
I mean.
Like the dude from Denver and Harry, because I guess they're well-known, they have a brand. And there might be a few others that make over $100,000.
You know who makes bank? Duval in Jacksonville.
Wait a minute.
That mascot is like, dude, that guy's jumping out of helicopters and everything else.
Okay.
Nuts.
If it requires that, I'm out. But let me say this. Oh, you said he's a brand. If I put the head on, I'm a brand.
Yes. The head is the brand.
That's the brand.
Like anybody underneath isn't the brand. It's where nobody even knows the dude's name.
No,
and he's not supposed to.
I see him and speak to him all the time. I have no idea who that guy is.
Walk around, give people high fives for $600K a year. Sign me up.
Well, Zeno, this comes to your whole theory, Zeno, about how you could be Batman if you just had the suit, or you could be Iron Man if you just had the suit.
It's true.
100%.
No, you can't. No, it's the person that's in there
that
goes along with that too.
Look, if I put that head on. And walk through my neighborhood, I'm telling y'all right now, I'm Harry.
There's a couple of things we know, okay? Between Harry and Batman, neither one of them got superpowers, but they got super paychecks.
Yeah. What's the Falcon mascot? It's pretty good, too.
Freddy?
Freddy's good, man. Freddy's
I mean,
good.
Is there a mascot union? Because if I'm Freddy, I'm filing a complaint.
What are you filing?
I mean, if I'm Freddy the Falcon,
guy
in the same
city's
making $600K?
What?
Freddy makes $50,000 a year.
No way!
No way!
I don't believe you.
$50,000 a year.
Well, you know what? Let's be honest, though.
There's a list of mascot salaries?
That's unfair.
You can do anything, man. Yeah.
But wait a minute. Here's the issue with this. Zeno, Harry is doing 82 games, or at least half of that at home, right?
Right.
So there are a double or triple the amount of games.
40 games and appearances.
Yeah.
But then also, the appearances. Like, he works in basically a full year.
Why am I defending Harry's salary right now? I'm just saying, but there's a lot more games.
Listen,
that can't be right.
Can we make a call to the bullpen for a quick $10K?
What are you talking about?
I'll fill in for a day.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flowery.
$40 an hour, it says on Google, for how much they make.
How much an hour?
40.
An hour?
$40 an hour.
Okay. All right, let's
move on. Changes things.
No, it does. It does change things. But congratulations to Harry the Hawk. All right, we are in the Ticketmaster studios. Let's talk about what Alex Anthopoulos said. We've got Coach Raheem Morris coming in here at 3 o'clock. By the way, does he know that you're here on this show with me today?
No, he doesn't. I'm going to be filming him when he walks in the room.
You think he's going to be surprised?
The mic shouldn't be on because he might say a bad word.
Well, he does tell you no a lot. That's what I do know. I do know that. He does say no, Zeno, a lot.
I tell him to get in line. My ex-wife and other people tell me he'll know a lot more.
Alex Anthopoulos stopped by yesterday. What about the starting pitching? We asked him how much of a priority will this be this offseason. Here is Double A.
But the one thing that we realize is pitching still matters. How do you view going after the necessary starting pitching you need to this offseason? What is your viewpoint on it? What's your approach? Because that's the question I continue to get from Braves fans is, Dukes, are they going to go after pitching this offseason? Starting pitching.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair, and I agree. I mean, look, we, even when things didn't go as planned in 24, we made the postseason and won more games that year than we did the year we won the World Series. We won 89 and won 88 the year in 21 we got to the World Series. This year to get to the postseason was 83 wins. So, but we pitched. We led in ERA, and we had a great rotation with Schwellenbach, Fried, obviously, Morton, Ronaldo Lopez, and Sale. And then we came into the year with Strider, Schwellenbach, Ronaldo Lopez, Sale, and Grant Holmes, who did a good job before he got hurt. The issue that we're trying to balance right now is a lot of those guys got hurt, almost all of them, right? But really, for the season, you're looking at three of those five, and then you have guys like Smith, Schwarber, and so on. So a lot of them are doing really well. Schwellenbach's completely healed. He feels great. Grant Holmes looks like he's over the hump. We'll find out in spring. But he's throwing bullpens and live BPs, batting practice, and all that kind of stuff. So he's doing really well. Ronaldo Lopez threw before he was gone for the offseason, and he's great. So everything points to them projecting being strong, being totally healthy. And then obviously Sale finished on the mound upright. And Strider, we think, will continue to get better, just further removed from surgery and rehabbing and all that.
That's Alex addressing the starting pitching and his approach, at least what he's thinking about. Look, I do believe that they're going to go get starting pitching. I just don't think we're going to go get three starting arms this offseason where you feel like they have invested, you know, the entire farm in starting pitching. I don't believe that's going to happen. When you pick up the option of Chris Sale, when you feel like the injured players in your rotation are all going to potentially be back, some of those guys are young and promising, you have to give that a shot. And I'm not saying it's the answer, but Zeno, I think a lot of people believe they're going to go get four of the best arms available in the offseason, and like that's what's going to happen. And I just don't believe that to be true. I think we might go get one of the potential best arms that will be available in free agency.
Yeah, I think they need more help in the bullpen than they do in the rotation. I think that needs to be addressed first. If you look at the
closer specifically?
Yes and no. I mean, it's like offensive linemen, right? You can never have enough middle relief help. You just can't. Like, there's not enough relievers out there. No one ever says, we've got too many arms in the bullpen that are good. Like, it's not a problem that you're worried about. So, because at some point, one, likely your closer is going to go down, or maybe ineffective, and you're going to need somebody who can step in and do that role. So I think you need to address the bullpen depth and make sure you got arm. Because the Braves' bullpen last year fell apart pretty quickly, pretty early. Now, towards the end of the year, I think it got a little bit better.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like, you know, I think that's probably a bigger thing to address in the closer, too. By the way, it was announced that Rick Kranitz is not coming back today. They have a new pitching coach, the Braves. So,
well, there's a theory for he's going to do things just like Snit did.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Hefner is the new – he used to be with the Mets, is the new pitching coach for
okay.
the Braves.
Well, I'm just saying, like, for everybody that goes, oh, he's going to do things exactly like Snit. Well, that ain't Snit. Like, Kranitz is a guy that's been here a while. We question what exactly was going on at times. And the fact that they're going in a different direction shouldn't surprise you. What this says is Walt Weiss is bringing in and doing things his way. That's what he's saying. These are the guys.
All new coaches. Yeah. Third base coach, first base coach gone. Everybody's gone.
This is what I want on my staff.
Which is fair. I mean, it's a new manager. He's allowed to bring in the guys that he wants.
Absolutely.
It's totally, totally fair. I don't think it's an indictment on Kranitz or Freddie or Tom Goodwin, who was the first base coach. You know, I don't think it's an indictment on any of those guys and their abilities. It's just a new manager wants his own guys in there. That's fair.
I don't mind it at all. Let's hear Alex talk about Walt Weiss as we're talking about his hiring. This is Dukes and Bell. Mark's in for Mike today. Ra is on the way. They're at practice right now as we're live at Flowery Branch, but he'll be in here sometime in the 3 o'clock hour. Let me hear Alex talk about why Walt Weiss is different from Snicker.
His character, his work ethic is exactly what we want here. And we expect great things going forward, and we expect to get back to the playoffs going forward.
So everybody talks about fit. I don't know what kind of manager he's going to be. I today on our pre-show behind the scenes, Zeno, and I know you had obligations, but I read a message I got from a player on this team who said, look, he's not the same guy. His approach is different, and he understands the game's not what it was 4 or 5 years ago. And I didn't share that on the show yesterday, but the fact is there are guys on this team who I think understand what Walt brings or what he will bring. I don't know what kind of manager he's going to be. Ultimately, we said this. If he wins games, we win divisions, we go to World Series, everything will be great. But I do think it is a bit unfair to just say his association with Snit means he's Snit.
No, that's I agree with you. That's unfair. And I know this is sort of a nebulous concept, but like
– what's that mean?
Trust me.
Go ahead.
It's sort of an intangible, okay, if you will. But the trust between players and their manager matter. And the guys in the clubhouse have to look at him and believe that he is the right guy doing the right thing every day for the best interest of the ball club, that guys are going to know their role, understand their role, and be used in their role and not some way that they don't typically use them. And that level of trust, generally gets the most out of players and allows them to believe that, hey, I can have an 0-for-17 slump and I'm fine. Yeah. Or, hey, I can, have the time to work through some mechanics issues and figure things out without losing my job. That matters to these guys. Even if they're making $30, $40 million a year, that still matters. So creating that in the clubhouse, and if what you're saying, Dukes, about players, that this is a different guy. We trust him. We believe in him. We know that he knows what's going on. Then that's something that's important to the players, and that's a good start.
I agree. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. More on this as we move through the show today as we await Raheem Morris. Before we get to Ra, though, Big O back at the studio, and Day-Day, our executive producer, is here. G-Money, our on-site engineer as well. Can I hear what happened with Desmond Bane last night? I want to address this later, but if you missed this, the Hawks last night beat Orlando again. We've beaten them twice. I don't know if you guys realize this, but Orlando is a team that talks a lot of trash. Bancaro is a guy that he feels like nobody can guard him, okay? And we've beaten him. And Desmond Bane, who used to be with Memphis, he used to be Ja's running mate, is now with Orlando. Last night, there was a steal. They throw a ball down to Double O. That's Onyeka Okongwu. And Double O goes up for basically a dunk. Bane fouls him. Regular foul. I don't think it was a hard foul. Bane tried to say it was just a hard foul. But then he throws the ball at Okongwu, and it's visibly noticeable. Like, this is not on the sneak tip. This is, you see it. And if you haven't seen the video, it was blatant. He gets a tech. He gets thrown out the game. But I want you to hear what our buddy Steve Holman said about this whole incident.
Now a long pass up ahead to Onyeka, and he goes up and got fouled, knocked down to the floor by Desmond Bane. Bane is a dirty player, and he just showed it right there. Bane's going to get a flagrant foul on this. Desmond Bane, who's been known for this kind of stuff in his career, he should be thrown out of this game. That should be a flagrant two. Desmond Bane, a dirty, rotten player, and he's been that way his whole career, and he just showed it in a Magic uniform. He's kind of restrained himself with the Magic so far, but he returns to Desmond Bane right now with a dirty, rotten play. It's going to be looked at, and it will be, if it's not a flagrant two, there should be an investigation into this.
And it was. And Steve Holman's right. Look, I didn't like Desmond Bane, Zeno, when he was with Memphis, and I don't like him even more now. He is a guy that tries to play this tough guy role. And remember at one point, who's the other cat they had on that Memphis team? You guys remember? Who am I thinking about, G-Money, that got traded? And he tried to play the tough fake guy. He called LeBron old, and you know what I'm talking about? And so they had this group of guys that were trying to, like, be something they hadn't yet accomplished. And then they get beat in the playoffs. Ja suspended multiple times for gunplay. And ultimately, they trade Desmond Bane. I was really hoping last night. I don't. Thank you, Dylan Brooks. I do not advocate violence.
Carrie's old.
Yes, Dylan Brooks. I was hoping Double O got up and got in his face last night. I really was. I don't know if he didn't see how the ball was thrown at him, but man, I'm telling you, like, it was like we're at the gym. Not only am I going to foul you, but now I'm going to humiliate you and throw the ball at your face. It was just not cool. And by the way, Steve Holman is exactly right. He is a low-down, rotten, dirty player.
Steve Holman certainly didn't hold back. I mean, he just let it fly, huh? There was no sort of reservation there whatsoever.
I love how Steve, he should be thrown out of this game.
I mean, what a loser.
Yes, yes, he was. Hawks win last night, but that moment was just one of those moments like, okay, this is why I don't like Orlando. This is why I don't like Orlando. 404-726.
Don't we got beef at Orlando FC, too?
Well, yeah, but they were so much better than we were this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have no room for saying much this year at Atlanta
United.
404-726-0929. Coach Roz on the way, guys. We'll dive more into the College Football Playoff Committee. Zeno and I were still arguing about what teams may or may not have a shot. It is going to be interesting over the next few weeks to see who wins these most important games. Like, the most important games on the schedule for these teams are in this month. And if you win them, you really have a shot to get in the playoff. We'll get back into that after the rankings came out last night. But Raheem Morris is on the way, guys. Coming up live from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.